Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good.
Good.
Lovely. Lovely, he said. Yes. Yeah. Summertime is upon us. For this week's edition, Word Made Flesh, we've opted to, it's been suggested, that we traverse back into the Old Testament, into a book of wisdom from the sages of long ago, and which good wisdom sayings, proverbs, all right, resonate down through the ages. And so we really like to see how Proverbs 28, 1 through, what did we say? 1 through 9? 10? Yeah, how does that resonate with us today? All right, what can we glean from this book of wisdom? All right, so, Mark, would you be ever so kind as to read that Proverbs 28, verses 1 through 10? We'll just round it off.
Sure. The wicked flee though no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. When a country is rebellious, it has many rulers, but a ruler with discernment and knowledge maintains order. A ruler who oppresses the poor is like a driving rain that leaves no crops. Those who forsake an instruction praise the wicked, but those who heed it resist them. Evildoers do not understand what is right, but those who seek the Lord understand it fully. Better the poor whose walk is blameless than the rich whose ways are perverse. A discerning son heeds instruction, but a companion of gluttons disgraces his father. Whoever increases wealth by taking interest or profit from the poor amasses it for another who will be kind to the poor. If anyone turns a deaf ear to my instruction, even their prayers are detestable. Whoever leads the upright along an evil path will fall into their own trap, but the blameless will receive a good inheritance.
Okay, thank you, thank you. Okay, a lot of good stuff there. Initial thoughts, comments, questions.
To understand fully, as it says, the law of the Lord is to, that doesn't come before following God, it comes after. And it's concurrent. As I find this out, and I relate this to my own life. My history as an isolator, it kind of, just to put it in perspective, it's been 14 years since I've held a job, and for the great deal of most of my young adult life, the only person I saw on a daily basis was my mother. I was without God. I was afraid of my own shadow. I was afraid of people. I was afraid of ideas. I was afraid of. I was afraid of people seeing me. But it was all. It was all mirages. But now that I'm with God, the boldness. Right now, I don't know if I would call myself a courageous person.
You wouldn't call yourself a courageous person. Yes. But you feel bold.
That there's boldness yet.
Yeah.
But there's always fear, but it doesn't rule me anymore.
And so the absence of fear in your life is what you understand is emboldening you.
Yeah.
And anyone see that as courageous? I mean, to some extent, that's kind of what vulnerability is, right? Taking the risk.
Yeah.
And without vulnerability, we're never going to have courage. You got to take the risk to do something, so in a sense, you've taken that risk. So, I'd probably push back a little bit and say, yeah, I think you've developed a little courage, right? But like, Wizard of Oz, that's a long walk, right?
Very, very long.
Good. All right. That's good stuff. Very good. Anything else you want to add? All right. Anybody else?
That's very cool to hear. I mean, even in the realm, I guess, as an addict, I just share joy in that, to hear that. That's evidence of change, you know. That's evidence of seeing your identity new. You know, I can look at myself today as a child of God, and not so much as what my past did, and that same process, I don't know, just to hear that turned inside out in a whole different arena, it just shows how powerful God is and how all-reaching he can be. Whatever situation you're in, you know, Christ is there for that in that own personal way. And it's just cool to hear that way.
Anybody else?
I wonder too, like, it's this, you know, for me, I think it too is everything am I doing, and do I have to hide behind a bush from everything I'm doing, you know? Everything, am I doing, am I leading this good, am I leading the life that I'm supposed to be living, or am I always looking over my shoulder, am I always hiding because deep down that I'm in fear that I knowingly I did something wrong in my process, in my walk. And I think, you know, like, that ends up, you think, if you keep living that way, if you start feeling that way, you're living in your own fear. You know, you're afraid to really move forward. You're afraid to be honest with who you are if you're always second-guessing yourself, too. Or if you are doing what's wrong, then you're just running. You're consistently running in life. Is that, so you're never going to get to doing His work for Him.
Which is interesting, because if we're aware that what we're doing is wrong, then somehow there's a measurement, right? A metric that identifies what that is, which is precisely what we're talking about here. I mean, that's for clarification purposes. Biblically, when we refer to the wicked, we're talking about those who are non-compliant with the law.
Yeah.
And we can see that throughout our culture. Like what you're talking about, we can see that within our own lives.
Yeah.
And then Mark, you know, was talking about maybe, you know, I had this, my young adulthood, there was maybe even an unawareness, right, of the law. But now that I've been made aware of that, that does help eliminate some anxiety, because it's not really about me.
Yeah.
You know, nowhere do we find in Proverbs or even throughout the Bible that we're really called to manage our sin per se.
No.
All right? Because then what's the purpose of God and Jesus anyways, if we have the capacity to do all that? You know, taking the risk that we trust, right, God's way, right, which may even lead us to economic impoverishment or even emotional impoverishment or some form of physical impoverishment or social impoverishment. So when we talk about the poor, let's not think just in terms of economics, all right? But remember, the poor are those who really are being denied access to justice. And in this proverb, the ones who claim to run the ways of justice are the wicked. Does that make sense? All right. What's beautiful about Proverbs 28, unlike a lot of the others, is usually the wisdom of the sage. It tries to tell us the right thing by talking down wrongdoing. But this proverb starts out, in a sense, praising those who are righteous, those who are in the way of God. They're bold. Right? And I appreciate Mark sharing a little bit about how that's really worked in his life. Have any of you others ever had a moment since or an encounter during your walk with Christ that you felt maybe a little nervous, right? But at the same time, a little emboldened, you know? I mean, your experience at the courthouse, right? Yeah. For those of you, John's nodding his head, right? We've had these encounters, right? In various ways. It could be at the supermarket and the checkout, or, you know, in some relationship, whether it be our employment relationship, our educational relationship, familial relationship, where something just comes over us that really overcomes the fear, right? Takes a risk, right, to put ourselves out there. We become vulnerable, which leads to the courage to be emboldened, on the right thing. In here, when we study in Luke's gospel, and we try to define discipleship as really doing the right thing at the right time for the right reason. Oftentimes, we can do the right thing, but maybe our motivation is not right. All right. Sometimes we can do the right thing, and our motivation is even good, but it's the wrong time to be doing that. You know, trying to get all three of those lined up in sync. Yeah, it takes practice. It takes discipline. And then what becomes the guiding rule for that? Well, here we talk about God's way. All right, so even to acknowledge that, you know, I'm kind of sitting back. I'm a little apprehensive because of my wrongdoing. Well, where did you come to know that what you did was wrong? Other thoughts, comments?
I think, you know, personally for me and my transformation and the consistency of God being in my life, no matter where I go, if I'm out doing this or I'm out doing that, that's like a security blanket for me. I can't, you know, I mean, and he's always telling me, no, Rich, you know, even though you want to think or steer off the wrong way or you want to associate with this person or you want to, you know what I'm getting at? I mean, it's like kind of slipping back into the old behavior and the old way of thinking, you know, and I'm like 100 times a day saying, God, please help me, please change me. I know you are, you know, and that's just in my transformation, you know, and it's a hard thing, you know, especially like Eric was talking about in our addiction and our old way of life. You know, getting the courage to be bold in the right way. You know, because we were always bold in the bad way.
Yeah. You're right about that. Yeah, I think we'd all agree.
You know what I mean? I mean, uh-huh. I just, you know, that's where I'm at. You know, I mean, I just, you know, it's good to have, you know, knowing that I can go to God for anything, even if I say something out of the way, I can go ask for forgiveness. I can go, and that's a real gain for me. You know?
So it's really one of those things, despite whatever circumstance we're going through, we can still be strong. If we're fully aware that we are in agreement, right? Being led by. So now we're back to this idea of surrendering and submitting to, coming under the authority of a creator's way and not the creature's way, right? Even then, what you're describing there, Richard, is through all that submission is this idea of humility, right? Then okay, I'm okay not pursuing the paths of, you know, I don't spend all my life now wishing I win the lottery because my life would be so much better once I win all these millions. All right, that somehow that's going to, right, it'll be good then. So despite whatever my circumstances are, my dependence about God and God's way is what really brings me the sense of peace. And that's kind of the vision of Isaiah 11, the Shalomic community. So I'm at peace with my emotional shortcomings, and I'll work on those. I'm at peace with my relational shortcomings, and I'll work on those because I'm emboldened now, right? I'm at peace with the economic, political, cultural, societal shortcomings, and I'll do my part to work on those. Very good, gentlemen. I appreciate all of your comments and insights this morning on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. So until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farm Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course, our radio ministry, Word Made Flesh. We're also in the process of establishing a women's and children's transitional housing program. Find out how you can become a neighbor of hope at neighborsofhope.com and please join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.